Welcome to Class Matters, an educational program examining the role played by social classes and the class divide in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Rich Whitney.
I'm Paula.
We discuss matters of class because class matters. And today on Class Matters, we're going to return to the subject of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that federal agency that, at least on its face, is supposed to be investigating major crimes and protecting us all from criminal activity. But as we've shown in some recent programs, that's not what they've been doing. As a matter of fact, historically, they don't really focus on that.
If you look at the founding of the FBI, it grew out of a World War One project to persecute dissidents to the war.
Right, the original Red Scares.
Yeah. To the Palmer Raids and all that stuff.
The
FBI was set up to basically go after anyone who opposed the war machine. I guess they're true to their heritage.
That's true. So while you might have a different impression of the FBI from popular culture and
TV shows
mostly and things like that, it's not like with all the corrupt agencies, there are good people within them. I'm sure there are people who try to do their job the right way, et cetera. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things we're going to talk about are some whistleblowers within the FBI who were trying to do that. But just to remind you, in recent weeks, what we've been seeing and hearing and reading about and sharing with you is the FBI being involved in censoring information on social media, both current agents and former agents who were hired by some of the social media companies to do exactly that, basically police speech and censor and flag and basically downgrade information that they don't approve of. And then, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, we talked about the Durham report, which basically showed that the FBI was getting involved in a presidential election. They were interfering in our elections.
Exactly, by putting out false evidence to a FISA court, no less.
Yeah, exactly. The very same thing that they were supposedly investigating Russia for doing, they were doing.
Always accuse others of that which you are doing, right?
That's pure evil.
That is pure evil.
And it's hard for us to overstate the importance and significance of this. This is a federal agency. Your tax dollars are going toward an agency that is censoring your speech. Your tax dollars going toward a federal agency that is interfering in our elections to make sure that they're not free and fair.
To make sure their candidate gets in.
Yeah, exactly. Or to exclude other candidates.
Yeah.
Both, really. So, yeah, that's what's going on here. And
the worst part is then they're lecturing you about other people while they're doing the same thing. It's just so hypocritical.
Yeah.
It's that hypocrisy that really gets to me.
Yeah. So it reminds me of that movie Network. You know, why aren't you getting mad as hell? People should be getting mad as hell at this.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, we wanted to share with you another article. Actually, two articles if we get to them. These are at the public.substack.com website, public.substack.com. And they're by Michael Schellenberger and some co-authors. Basically, Michael Schellenberger is one of the people who, along with Matt Taibbi, is taking the lead in exposing the censorship industrial complex. That is in a very appropriate word. That's what we're dealing with here.
And it was he and Matt Taibbi that got trashed in a sort of a kangaroo court kind of trial or, you know, interrogation in the U.S. Congress, masked as an investigation.
Yeah. So these articles are a couple weeks old, but, you know, we're having trouble keeping up with what's going on here.
No matter how cynical I get, I just can't keep up.
That's right. So the first of these by Michael Schellenberger and Alex Gutentag is entitled, Why the FBI and Democrats Are Attacking Whistleblowers. The FBI whistleblowers who testified before Congress on May 18th, and some of you might have seen mainstream media coverage of this.
You would have just seen a bunch of attack dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, yay, look at them. They're vicious bullies.
Yeah.
Aren't you proud?
Anyway, these whistleblowers are not actually whistleblowers, according to the FBI and Democrats. Rather, they are disloyal Americans who undermined investigations into the January 6, 2021 riot at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
So FBI agents are traitors.
Well, these ones are.
These FBI agents are traitors because they're not going along with the agenda of the main FBI.
That's
of the top FBI.
Yeah, that's
put it that way.
That's basically right. So then they quote this delegate, Stacy Plaskett of the Virgin Islands, who some of you may remember.
Oh, she was horrible.
Was the, for some reason, they made her the ranking member of the House Weaponization Subcommittee.
Why would they do that? She's not even a voting member.
Yeah, I know.
She's just a token member, and she's horrible.
Well, right. She's an attack dog, and she attacked Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi when they testified before the House Weaponization Subcommittee. So they quote her as saying, "My Republican colleagues have brought in these former agents, men who lost their security clearances, because they were a threat to our national security."
What bogus.
"Who out of malice or ignorance, or both, have put partisan agenda above the oath they swore to serve this country." Which, of course,
so ironic. She's so stupid. She doesn't see the irony in that.
Yeah, yeah.
These people, the FBI was used to influence the election, and she's blaming the people that expose it as doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
These people are so stupid, or else they have no shame. One or the other, or both.
Yeah,
they definitely have no shame.
Yeah, indeed.
Because normal people would be embarrassed to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm lying through my teeth in front of the entire American people. I'm kind of ashamed of myself. That's what normal people would do.
Right.
But
yeah.
Not her.
Yeah. But there is no evidence that any of the FBI whistleblowers are or ever were a threat to national security. One of them, Marcus Allen, won 2 medals fighting in Iraq and Kuwait. Another, Garrett O'Boyle, served in the Army in Iraq, worked as a police officer, and graduated with honors in criminology and law.
Oh, he's too smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the problem. These people are too principled.
Yep. Democrats pointed out that the FBI had revoked the security clearances of 2 whistleblowers, Allen and Stephen Friend, earlier last month. That news came in a letter that Christopher Dunham, the acting assistant director of the FBI, sent to the House Judiciary Committee last night. The FBI claimed that Allen, quote, expressed sympathy for persons or organizations that advocate, threaten, or use force or violence, or use any other illegal or unconstitutional means in an effort to prevent federal government personnel from performing their official duties.
In other words, he says, we've got political prisoners sitting in horrible jails for over 2 years without a trial. I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
That's probably what he said.
Well, actually, we're going to find out what he said. And, okay. And it's not that exactly, but you're close.
Well, anyone should feel sorry for those people if you have a shred of moral decency.
Yeah. But neither the FBI nor Democrats presented evidence that Allen Friend or the other FBI whistleblowers who testified participated or even sympathized with the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol building. And as a matter of fact, as we learned in the second article, one of them did actually attend the protest but did not go inside the Capitol.
Well, there's a difference between the protest and the riot.
Yeah.
Totally different people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 250,000 people at the protest.
Others suggested the FBI agents were exaggerating. "You all have employment grievances," said Representative Gerald Connolly. "That doesn't make you whistleblowers. We're listening to sad tales of certain individuals." Said Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, "These individuals have been determined not to be whistleblowers." This coming, of course, from the woman when she was the head of the Democratic National Committee, who was caught involved in the
interfering in the 2016 election
to make sure that Bernie Sanders did not get the nomination.
Not only that, talk about traitors. She hired 2 Pakistani computer experts who had access to all kinds of congressional members of Congress internet and stuff.
Right.
And they fled because when, I don't know if it was the FBI looking into them, when someone started investigating them, they just up and left. And she was the one that hired him, the Amron brothers, or Amron brothers. I can't remember exactly what it was. But these people were not working in the interest, as far as most people that looked into it can tell, of the interest of the American people.
Right. Yeah.
And it was her, and somehow she's still in Congress. How is this possible?
Well,
attacking FBI members who don't go along with the dominant narrative of January 6th.
Yeah, yeah. But the FBI agents testifying followed the legally required whistleblower protocols within the FBI and were not fringe agents. Allen, for example, was the 2019 Employee of the Year for the Charlotte Field Office. Friend, a special agent at the FBI for 8.5 years, O'Boyle and Allen all said they made protected whistleblower disclosures and yet were retaliated against by the FBI. Allen was suspended without pay in January 2022. O'Boyle was transferred to a new unit, moved his family across the country, and was placed on an unpaid suspension the first day he arrived. For decades after the FBI was caught spying on Martin Luther King Jr. and abusing its powers for political ends, Democrats emphasize strong constraints on domestic spying and the importance of whistleblowers.
But that was the old Democrats.
Yeah. Now Democrats are savaging these former public servants as threats to national security. Why is that?
Because they're hypocrites.
Well, yeah, but there's more. At least two FBI whistleblowers are being persecuted for concerns over how the January 6th protesters were treated.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Friend expressed concerns about the FBI's use of SWAT teams to arrest January 6th subjects. Within a month of these disclosures, the FBI removed Friend's security clearance and removed him from active duty. O'Boyle disclosed that the FBI pressured him to violate the law by opening domestic violent extremism investigations without sufficient basis. In addition to an indefinite unpaid suspension, the FBI initiated a campaign of humiliation and intimidation to punish and pressure me to resign, Friend testified.
They've got six ways to Sunday to get back at you, as Chuck Schumer pointed out.
Yep. The FBI's campaign of personal destruction included leaking Friend's private medical information to a New York Times reporter. FBI whistleblower Marcus Allen got in trouble with his superiors at the FBI, not for peddling conspiracy theories, but rather for sharing accurate news articles, including one apparently based on reporting by the New York Times.
That New York Times. Yeah. They're so disruptive to the national security.
Yeah, there you go. Federal law enforcement had a far greater visibility into the assault on the Capitol, wrote the Times last fall, even as it was taking place, than was previously known. Allen's intentions were plainly constructive. He had apparently forwarded an article to other FBI investigators to caution them that if they were looking at footage, they should be aware that there were informants in the crowd. Court documents indicate that there were at least eight FBI informants, known as CHSs for Confidential Human Informants, in the Proud Boys, which was one of the groups that organized the January 6th protest. There is evidence that FBI also had CHSs in the Oath Keepers, another January 6th activist group. What's more, we know from the subcommittee's investigation that the FBI field office in Washington, D.C., rejected a request for surveillance video from an FBI field agent in Boston. Former FBI supervisory intelligence analyst George Hill told the subcommittee that the Boston office wanted to identify 140 individuals from the Boston area who were bused down to Washington, D.C. for the January 6th protest, only two of whom entered the Capitol building.
So they want to get 138 of them and never went near the Capitol building and throw them in prison, too.
Yeah, yeah, right. The only basis for investigating...
Land of the free, home of the brave.
Yeah, that's right.
The right of people to peacefully assemble shall not be abridged. Oops.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the same amendment that gives you the right of free speech and free press.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's more. The only basis for investigating the 138 individuals who didn't break the law was that they shared buses to Washington with two individuals who entered restricted areas of the Capitol that day, said a report by the House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government.
And there's a big difference between the rioters, those young, skinny, black-clad people who broke windows and stuff, and the actual protesters who, when the doors were open to the Capitol, wandered through, took selfies, stayed between the velvet ropes. It's public property, the Capitol.
Yeah, right.
But all of a sudden, now they're defining it as, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And they trespassed.
Mm-hmm. Hill said that when the Boston office asked for video evidence about these individuals, the Washington field office said they could not give access to the 11,000 hours of video footage available because there may be undercover officers or CHSs, again, confidential human sources, on those videos whose identity we need to protect.
In other words, you're going to look on there and you're going to go, hey, that guy's from Boston. And look, he's breaking things. And they're going to go, no, that's our guy.
Yeah, that's our guy. Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't just the FBI who had undercover informants and agents in the crowd. There were undercover agents and informants from other law enforcement agencies, including the Washington, D.C. Metro Police, who were acting like Trump supporters. Indeed, there may have been hundreds of undercover government agents and informants, both local and federal, in the January 6th crowd. You know, this reminds me of back in the day, again, the FBI, back during J. Edgar Hoover's reign, when at one point there was some report that disclosed that something like, I don't know, 30% of the active members of the Communist Party were undercover agents or something like that.
Same with the KKK.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was one time, I think there was a meeting, there was like six guys there, and they realized they were all undercover FBI agents. There wasn't one actual communist there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oops. According to one January 6th witness, there were 100 to 200 Secret Service agents alone at the Capitol before and during the breach of the police barriers. In an interview for the January 6th Commission, Christopher J. Tomney, Director of Homeland Security Situational Awareness, stated that the Secret Service did send initially 100 officers, both uniformed and plainclothes, up to assist at the Capitol, and later on sent an additional 100. By the way, throughout this article, he's got links so you can follow it up to the original sources. Tomney added, "So I think at the height, as I recall, there were about 200 Secret Service, give or take, up there on Capitol Hill." One court filing alleges there were at least 20 FBI assets at the Capitol. Another court document from the Proud Boys trial suggests that there were at least 40 undercover informants or agents doing surveillance among defendants on January 6th.
Well, you know that Ray Epps guy. You can see they've got him on camera going, "We've got to take the Capitol. We've got to take the Capitol." And everyone around us going, "What?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you talking
about?" Some of them said FBI. You know,
oh,
they
said, some of them said FBI. Yeah. Well, the same with the rioters breaking the windows. People in the crowd were going, "Antifa, Antifa," right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't do any good. That's why they don't want you to see the surveillance tapes.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking about people with cell phones, right?
Right.
But their surveillance tapes, you can see a lot more.
Of course, yes. In a motion to compel disclosure of all confidential human sources of Homeland Security, the defense alleges that in addition to the 8 confirmed FBI CHSs, the D.C. Metro Police had at least 13 undercover plainclothes agents, and there appear to have been some 19 CHSs on January 6th belonging to an agency called Homeland Security Investigations. One such individual is alleged to have been in the crowd screaming, "Stop the steal, stop the steal," mm-hmm. and pushing protesters toward the Capitol building.
Uh-huh.
It is unsurprising that many agencies would send dozens of officers and informants to the Capitol.
And provocateurs.
Right. In anticipation of 10,000 to 30,000 people attending a highly charged political rally. However, it is troubling that the public has not been given a full accounting of law enforcement officers' activities on January 6th, given the fact that Democrats have likened the riot to Pearl Harbor and 9/11.
They're so...
I know, yeah. Wouldn't you want to know if most of the people involved were actually undercover agents, you know?
Agent provocateurs is the name for them. He's being polite, not saying that, but I'm saying it.
Yeah, yeah.
You got someone saying stop the steal and pushing people toward the Capitol. That is not just an informant.
Yeah.
That is a provocateur.
Yeah, that's right. The real problem with Allen and Friend is that according to the FBI, they, quote, espouse an alternative narrative about the events at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah,
you
First
can't
Amendment
go
rights.
Against the official narrative.
Yeah. So why did the FBI and Democrats attack the FBI whistleblowers? Perhaps because they are revealing, at a minimum, the FBI's failure to stop the riot and, more maximally, its role in instigating it.
There you go. Provocateurs.
Yep. If you had all of this intelligence, including undercover agents and informants on the ground on January 6th, why did they not stop what was happening, asked investigative journalist Julie Kelly. If you're a government informant, and at the first breach point with Ray Epps, the Proud Boys, and others, and you're reporting back the breach at 12:45 p.m., why didn't that provoke a bigger law enforcement response?
Because their propaganda narrative relied on it looking like they were just overrun. It was an insurrection. We came that close to losing our entire country to that guy in the buffalo horns.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's the only young skinny one that, you know, actually was probably with the demonstrators.
Well, yeah. Whistleblowers Allen Friend and O'Boyle all commented on the chilling effect of the FBI's retaliation. Too many in the FBI aren't willing to sacrifice the hard right over the easy wrong. They see what becomes of whistleblowers, O'Boyle said. This is by design. It creates an Orwellian atmosphere that silences opposition and discussion.
It creates a totalitarian oppression.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. I think of Orwellian more as them saying January 6th was an insurrection. That's
right.
Orwellian.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, come on now. A bunch of people walking through the Capitol are not going to overthrow the biggest government in the world.
Right,
most
yeah.
oppressive government in the world.
Yeah. My treatment, without a doubt, has sent a chilling effect through what semblance remains of an analytical cadre, said Allen. O'Boyle said that the FBI's actions against him had rendered him and his family homeless, and that they could not access their personal effects, including clothing, because they were in FBI storage when he was suspended.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's absolutely nuts.
Well, yeah, it's just vindictive and everything else.
But I mean, your own personal possessions?
Yeah, yeah. But throughout the hearing, it was obvious that the Democrats were trying to distract and derail the subcommittee, refusing to engage with the whistleblower's allegations that the FBI has intentionally exaggerated the threat of domestic terrorism through padded statistics and illegal investigations. At several points, the hearing descended into absurdity. California Congresswoman Linda Sanchez interrogated Allen about a tweet from an account under the name Marcus Allen that claimed that Nancy Pelosi had staged the January 6th riot. But when she asked him to confirm that the account was his, he told her it is absolutely not. Bizarrely, Sanchez carried on her line of questioning anyway, asking Allen if he believed the claim stated in the tweet that he had not written. He responded that he did not.
Linda Sanchez, she's another piece of work.
Yeah.
What is it about California delegates? I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. What's more, the hearing made clear that the FBI is working with the Democrats, which underscores the agency's increasing partisanship. Friend called the FBI's release of a letter attacking him and other whistleblowers as dubious, and Allen called the leak of the letter unbecoming of the organization given the public trust. Delegate Plaskett, that's that Virgin Islands woman, who savaged the FBI whistleblowers, previously threatened journalist Matt Taibbi with prison for supposedly lying to Congress under oath, even though he did no such thing. And the investigation into what really happened on January 6th and to the FBI employees who blew the whistle isn't over.
Just like to point out, when he says it's unbecoming of the organization given the public trust, I would say the public trust is unbecoming given the actions of the government of the organization.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The Justice Department Inspector General is investigating Friend's and Allen's claims, according to Tristan Levitt, president of Empower Oversight, a government watchdog. As such, the investigation into the January 6th riot didn't end with the release of the January 6th Commission's report last December, and in many ways is only now beginning.
Yeah, because that was a partisan commission. That was a farce of a commission.
It was. What's clear is that the FBI whistleblowers who's testified before Congress are real-world whistleblowers and loyal Americans who are strengthening, not undermining, our democracy.
Well, look what's happened to Julian Assange. I mean, all of these attacks on individuals who try to speak out. When you said not everyone in the FBI is a bad person, no, not the bottom people. And I brought up Colleen Rowley. Well, she got persecuted, but not like this. I mean, they've really ramped up the persecution of people who tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Big time.
Yep.
And that was only 20 years ago. She was talking about the FBI's refusal to listen to reports from field agents before 9/11.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. All right, with that, let's go to a follow-up article. This is one by Michael Schellenberger and Madeline Rowley. And once again, you can find it at public.substack.com. It's entitled Behind Purge of FBI Whistleblowers, the Hyping and Hunting of quote-unquote domestic terrorists. The FBI whistleblowers who testified before Congress last week, this was in mid-May, are far-right QAnon conspiracy theorists and anti-vaxxers who lost their security clearances because they stole sensitive documents and supported Donald Trump's coup attempt on January 6, 2021, the FBI and the news media, corporate news media, are suggesting. Proof that they are scam artists, claimed reporters, comes from the fact that a top Trump donor and a right-wing think tank are paying them. But there is no evidence that any of them stole sensitive documents, adhered to QAnon conspiracy theories, or supported the January 6th Capitol riot, much less an attempt to overthrow the government. The FBI's deputy director said in a letter to Congress that one of the men, Stephen Friend, had used a flash drive to download data in a way that violated the rules. What the FBI didn't mention is that the downloaded information was the FBI employee handbook, which is not classified or confidential. It was the kind of infraction that warrants an email from a supervisor, not an investigation.
How is that an infraction at all? You can't download the employee handbook?
Apparently not. But anyway.
But that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's just one of many crazy things involved
here. Right, yes. Probably one of the least crazy, yeah. But still it's outrageous. Because then they turn around and use that, really?
Yeah.
You downloaded the employee handbook. That employee handbook is top secret.
Yeah.
National security.
Yeah, exactly.
Coup. Insurrection.
Yep. As for the payment from a Trump donor, it was $5,000, and it was a donation, like one of many that members of the public sent after Friend was suspended and not allowed to work. I never met the donor, Cash Patel, said Friend. I'm not proud to have to accept charity, but when I got married, I promised to take care of her. I don't think any man is proud to accept charity, but I'm certainly grateful to live in a country where people are generous enough to take care of those who are in hard times. All three of the FBI whistleblowers we interviewed are indeed conservative. One works for a conservative think tank. At least one, if not all, decided not to get vaccinated against COVID. And another attended the January 6th protest, but never entered the Capitol.
You'd have to be conservative to not accept that GMO injectable, you know, medical experiment product.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's lots of people who are no way conservative, like, trust Big Pharma? I don't think so.
Yes.
Which, again, used to be a Democrat thing.
Yeah,
but
used
not
to be.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. All the regulatory agencies are doing great work now.
Oh, great work.
Yeah, that's right.
Great work. That's why they won't release the evidence for 75 years, because they're doing such great work.
Yeah. Neither a person's political beliefs nor their personal medical decisions should be relevant when the FBI evaluates someone for a job. The FBI whistleblower who attended the January 6th protest says there was no indication that the public area near the Capitol was a restricted zone. What about QAnon? I've never actually looked up what it is, said Friend. What about COVID conspiracy mongering? Friend admits to writing an article that was tongue-in-cheek with snark, pointing out absurdities like, hey, you have to wear the mask when you're talking to your seat, but not while eating.
That was silly.
Yeah. Having read the background material, including the FBI's accusations, and interviewed the whistleblowers at length, it's clear that the FBI whistleblowers who testified last week are what they appear to be. Sincere, disciplined, and successful FBI agents whom the FBI is persecuting because they blew the whistle on abuses of power within the law enforcement agency. What's more, none of the news media attacking the FBI whistleblowers have actually interviewed the FBI whistleblowers, as shocking as that sounds.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that journalism 101? Oh, used to be. Sorry, yeah. That was before.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The New York Times never asked for an interview, I pressed. No, said Friend. What about the Washington Post, I asked. Nope, no Washington Post.
That's insane.
Friend added, during Hurricane Ian, we had no cell service, no power, nothing. And then I get reception, my phone exploded, and my attorney said, hey, the New York Times reached out for comment on the fact that you're unvaccinated and under investigation for shooting a firearm in your backyard.
Say what?
Yeah, exactly. But the rumor about shooting a gun in his backyard was false. It appears to have stemmed from an unrelated, non-criminal incident by a different whistleblower.
Okay, so they don't want to ask him about their whistleblowing. They don't want to ask him about their allegations. They don't want to ask him about how the FBI is treating him. But they want to know if you're an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah.
And, hey, what do you say about this, you know, snitch?
Right.
Who was snitching on a different person, but we're going to say it's you.
Yeah, exactly. They were looking for dirt.
Yep.
Yeah. After Friend told the Times what happened, the newspaper ignored his story. The Times never called and asked for an interview about the substance of your claims, I asked. No, they've never done that. What about CBS, NBC, any of the big media? Nobody? BBC reached out a week ago, he said, but I had a conflict. I was incredulous. They didn't follow up? Nope. We already wrote about the FBI whistleblowers being attacked by the FBI and Democrats in Congress last week. That was the earlier article. But given the plain intention by the FBI and the news media to continue their unscrupulous defamation campaign, which can be accurately summarized and as labeled as disinformation under their own definition of the term, we decided to take a closer look at their cases. What we discovered shocked and disturbed us. Well, there's actually, of course, as you might imagine, a lot more to this article, but we're about out of time on this edition of Class Matters. Again, you can find both of these articles at public.substack.com, and this one is entitled, Behind Purge of FBI Whistleblowers, The Hyping and Hunting of Domestic Terrorists. Thanks for listening to Class Matters. We'll be with you again next Monday.